The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, He is one and there is no other than He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw this, and when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And no one dared to ask him any more questions." The Gospel of the Lord. You are not far from the kingdom of God. This statement from the Jesus really got stuck into my head, because we don't want to be far from the kingdom of God. We don't just want to be near it. We want to be in it. And I was wondering, what does it take to be in the kingdom of God and not just be near to the kingdom of God? To be near and to be in are two different things. And I was trying to understand the attitude of one of the scribes who asked Jesus in the gospel today. He was really sincere in his questions. He really wanted to know. It was one of those, you know, questions that was trying to trap Jesus in the end. You know, we've seen that happen so many times with some of the scribes and the Pharisees, asking Jesus so that they would catch him in the end, probably self-contradicting whatever he was saying. But here, the guy was pretty sincere. And he knew the answer. He knew the answer. And he agreed with Jesus. And after he agreed with Jesus, he said, Jesus told him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The dynamics here tells us that it takes more than just knowing what the commandments are in order to be in the kingdom. It takes more than just agreeing with Jesus, with what Jesus says, in order to be in the kingdom of God. It's more than just asking the right questions about the faith in order for us to be in the kingdom. Those things, though, gets us nearer to the kingdom, but not quite yet in the kingdom. The scribe here didn't realize that the person that he was asking is the key in order for him to be in the kingdom. It's interesting that Mark uses the word, or this first line, one of the scribes came to Jesus. He went to Jesus. He came to Jesus. He went to Christ. But he didn't stay with him, unlike the other disciples. He told the guy about the centrality of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Every pious and religious Jew knew this by heart because this is so central to who they are. But what Jesus was trying to tell them is that it should not just stay in the head, but it should really penetrate the heart. And to be able to love God and to love one's neighbor is first to be convinced that God loves us first. We can never love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and loving our neighbors as ourselves if we don't experience first this redeeming love of God. It all emanates from our experience of God's love. We can never love authentically if we haven't experienced this overwhelming love of God. I was watching with the RCAA group. I taught RCAA today from 10 a.m. to noon with those who are inquiring to the Catholic faith. Can we watch this series on The Search? It's a great series that you can find actually in form.org, which the parish has a subscription. It's a great online library. And the story started, the video today started with about recounting the earthquake in Armenia in 1988. You know, there was this huge earthquake in Armenia in 1988, and like 35,000 people perished from the earthquake. And in the epicenter of the earthquake, one of the buildings that was truly devastated was a school building. And when everybody was going out from the epicenter, a father of one of the kids ran directly to the building, to the school building, because children were there when it happened. And he started to lift one stone after another. And after a few hours, when people learned what was going on, they joined him. But after like 6 or 7 hours, some of the people finally gave up. Everybody gave up except him, you know, lifting all those huge stones that were toppled one after another. And everybody was mocking him after several times. Like, there's no one there. No one would have survived there. No one. After 38 hours of doing it, finally, he heard a voice. And it was the voice of his son. And when he lifted that stone that covered immediately his son said to him, "I know, Dad, that you will come for me." He was so convinced of the faithfulness and the dedication of his father. And not just of his faithfulness and dedication, but most especially of his love. And that is, I think, a great picture of God's love for us. If you're not convinced that God, if a human father, has that kind of love, how much more our Heavenly Father loves you and I? If that human father has that capacity to love that way, could you imagine how much God loves you? He would not just be, you know, lifting up stones after stones for 38 hours. He gave himself
to you and I. That's what love is. You know, how many times, you know, as I was listening to that story, I suddenly remember, you know, how many stones actually in my life that God had to remove in order for me to say, thank you for being here. How many stones of sins have I covered myself from the rumble and earthquake of life? To finally realize God's love and His faithfulness. If we're not convinced of God's love, there is no way for you and I to love Him and the other people the way He tries to describe it in the gospel today. You know, when we hear of the commandments, the first thing, you know, at least growing up, because I grew up in a Catholic school from kindergarten to high school, all of us, five boys in the family, were all sent to Dominican school. And, you know, I grew up memorizing things. I grew up memorizing the sacraments. I grew up memorizing prayers. I grew up memorizing the commandments and all of those things. And as a kid, you know, if you're in those kind, in that mode of memorizing, eventually it just becomes very mechanical. It's just eventually become a chore. So whenever I hear the commandment before, it always sounds like an imposition from the outside. An imposition from the outside, a law coming from the outside, you know, trying to just manage my life. But no, the commandments are not supposed to be seen that way. They are the most liberating and the most freeing thing if we truly understand what it is. It's God's way of telling us, I love you this much that I'm giving you this so that you become true to who you are. And I've said this before, and what finally clicked in my head, how I finally got it, is when I was in the seminary and I understood by heart the true spirit of the commandments. By saying, you know, if commandments is summarized in one word, and that is love, L-O-V, the commandment of love, loving God and loving neighbors. So the four-letter word is the summary of all the commandment. And if that is the name of who God is love, meaning when I follow the commandment, I am just really entering into the divine life of God. It's not an imposition coming from the outside, but it's God's way of telling me, I am here, I'm present. And if I'm created in the image and likeness of God who is love, then whenever, so my identity is love then. Your identity is love then. So when I follow the commandments, I am just seeing a reflection of myself because they are not something that is added on me, but it's actually coming from my own being. Coming from my own being. What is so interesting about the commandment here, what is so novel about what Jesus said to the scribe is He combined loving God and loving one's neighbor as the two cornerstones of the Christian faith. The Jews already know about loving God as the priority, but loving one's neighbor was quite radical for his time because the Jews defined neighbor in a very, you know, in a very limited way. My neighbor during that time of Jesus is the one who agrees with me. My neighbor is the one that I have a relationship with. My neighbor is the one that I have an appreciation of. But here, neighbor is everyone in virtue of being created in God's own image and likeness. And loving neighbor as oneself, could you imagine? Loving one's neighbor as yourself, That's actually self-contradictory. Do you know why? Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, there is no more neighbor, because you're practically loving a reflection of yourself. Meaning, the other does not exist anymore. The person that I am seeing is not really other, because I am loving that person just like I love myself. How radical is that one? How radical is that? The otherness of the other is no longer there, because I am already seeing myself in that person. That's the radicality of the Christian call. And how can we do this, guys? How can we do this? With God's grace. Sometimes I'm even having a hard time loving the people that I like. That's just the truth. There are times when I'm even having a hard time loving people in my own family. I hope my mom is not watching right now. But she is, I'm sure. She asked me, "What time is your mass?" That is why this can only be accomplished through God's grace. Through God's grace, but we have the capacity to go and scale the heights of the divine, because we share in the very image and likeness of God. And you know, the thing about this too, what we say in here, you know, the question, if you want to be in the kingdom and not just near the kingdom, the guy who asked the question knew the answer. He was knowledgeable. He knew. But the other question is, was he practicing what he knew? Was he living out what he knew? That is why love in here is not a noun, it's a verb. It's a verb. And what is a verb? An action word. Love in the truest sense of the word is not a noun. It is what you do to the other and what you do to oneself. So that is why it takes going out of the self in order to truly authentically love. Let us ask for the grace to grow in this realization of communion with God and with one another. As what I've said, doing it on our own is not possible. But after experiencing how much God loves us, just like how the boy in that story in Armenia was convinced that his father will never abandon him, will never give up on him, we are able also to love as we should.